Good morning. I'm not sure. What time is it? Is it 11 o'clock or is it 12 o'clock? If it's 12 o'clock, maybe we should be finishing now. Just close with the grace and then share fellowship. No, it just reminds me, actually, when I grew up in East London, and I had a part-time job at a market, Bethnal Green Market. I can still hear this voice, Harry, 2.5p now, 2.5. Anyway, and one Sunday, you needed to get there early. So one Sunday morning, he came to pick me up. And it was one of these Sundays, so clock forward or clock back. Anyway, he rang the bell at 5:30 in the morning. My mum was not best. We had one grand and I'll come to the bell. I got this time and then she said. So just every time this time of year comes, I just think about Harry and that job that I used to have back in the day. Anyway, that's not part of the topic, but it is to do with family, and I shall be sharing about that. But before I do that, I just want to say, Christine doesn't know that I'm going to be saying this. So over the years, when Christine has led worship, some of her ideas and creativity are just brilliant. And I've sometimes noted and thought, yeah, man. And I've used it in assemblies. And I think, actually, Christine, you should get them all together in a book, pass them to Scripture Union and publish them. Because my feeling is this, if God has given us something that we can use, and it's great that Snail Baptist Church get to benefit over the years, but there might be some others. I can think of some colleagues who might appreciate it. So a little bit of homework for you this afternoon. When Everton are beating Man United, could you probably remember it? And you can maybe just scroll down. There is more to life than football. We're going to be thinking about, it's okay not to be okay. That's a kind of theme. And we're going to be looking at Joseph and family and the dysfunctional family. And families go up and down. And when I've been looking, and someone said, I was staggered. From about Genesis chapter 30 through to Genesis chapter 50. So 20 chapters, you've got bits of the story. Christine kicked off this morning with Genesis chapter 37. And 37 through to 50, and it's like we're not going to read from chapter 37, verse 1 through to, I mean, that might take us through till next Christmas. But it is interesting. But in summary, it goes a little bit like this for Joseph. It goes up and down and up and down and up and down. And I'm sure there is a mathematical term for it. I don't know what it is. I want it to be a maths teacher. Right, but up and down, and life can be up and down. It was for Joseph, and I guess today it is for us. For most of us, if not all of us. So this morning I'm going to share a couple of thoughts, either side of an activity that Christine has got. And I hope that when we leave here, at whatever time we leave here, whatever time it is, that we might think about our own situation, and particularly Genesis 50, verse 20, in the end. God intended it for good. Because sometimes it's hard to see God in some of the downs. Maybe it's a bit easier when things are going well, but what about when life has been and can be rough for us at home, at college, at uni, in the school, in the workplace, etc., etc. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Has anyone ever seen this? It's unbelievable. When I first came to Slough, I've been in Slough 35 years now. I remember going to Windsor Theatre. I was there last week, but that's another story. And I remember going to see Joseph, and it was amazing. And 2 years ago, two of the schools that I visit, I think it was Datchet St Mary's and St Ethelbert's, they did it as their school show in the summer, and I went along to both of them. And the reason why I love it is because of the songs, the music, the story, the ideas it gives, and also it brings back some personal memories. Here is my picture from my primary school days. I think I've shown it before. And at this school, we did Joseph. And I can remember I was Gad, who's one of the brothers. And I remember when we did it, I can't remember who did Joseph, but I was one of the brothers. And it was brilliant. working together. And when I went to see it, especially when I saw it at St. Ethelbert's School, they were just superb. And I think it was Our Lady of Peace was another school that did it. And one of the girls who did GAD, she goes to Burnham Grammar. So every time I see her at Burnham Grammar, I think, Joseph! She must be year eight now, I guess. And it's just an amazing story. And when I saw it at Windsor Theatre all those years or so ago, the songs, the music, and whether you've seen it locally in the school, was anyone involved in Joseph as a child at school? Yeah, one. It's amazing. And it sticks. And I can remember, and this would have been about 40 or so years ago. The songs, it's just a brilliant. But it's based on, because I'm guessing some people who have seen it in schools, maybe some parents, grandparents, carers, have gone along and have seen it, and they've probably got no idea that it's based on a true story from the Bible. But it is. And so when I've seen it in schools, and one of the first ones I saw in a senior school was at Desborough College, as it is now, many, many years ago. Unbelievable production that they did. And that gave me some ideas. So the next time I did some assemblies there, we looked at Joseph. And I was able to make some connections, etc. So, now I want to talk a bit about family. This is a picture of some of my family. It's not all of them. It's some of them. And I know, as I guess most of us know, what it's like to be in a family that's ups and downs and dysfunctional, etc. And because we've had our joys and pains over the years, so this, I wanted to get a picture from a few years back. There was more of us in it, but I couldn't find that picture, so this one will do. And there's some of the Dixon family from whenever it was. And the reason why I'm showing that picture is that we are all part of some kind of family. Might be blended, might be nuclear, however we want to call it. And as I was showing the diagram before, there are ups and downs in our family lives. There's ups and downs. One of the things I've told you already, I wasn't planning on, about the job that I used to do. And we used to have chores in growing up in East London. And my chore on a Sunday was to go to the local laundrette. So Sunday afternoon, I would go around the corner. We lived in a road called Malvern Road, and on Leytonstone High Street was a laundrette. I don't know if it's still there. And that was my job. Or others would be the washing up. Actually, we had a rota Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And because there were a number of us, it was split, so I probably did it once a year. No, I'm joking. But the key thing is, and particularly if there's more than one in a family, is that it needs to be shared. It's not right for, say, me and Alan is the one in the... that's my younger brother, Alan, in the yellow top. And so if he tried to sort of skive out of doing the washing, I'll say, Alan, it's your turn. Or my sister Sandra, Wayne, it's your turn. And if we're in families, however young or old we are, there are usually jobs that need to be done, always jobs that need to be done, and we need to do it. Now, like, for example, me, I'm not into gardening at all. Yeah, it's a job, it's a task that needs to be done. But I do know someone who enjoys gardening, so that does really help. But families, and the truth of the point that I wanted to show on this picture is that I know personal difficulty. I was the equivalent of year seven when I'd been a Christian a short time, and my parents split up. My mum lives in America now, you've heard me talk about my mum, and my dad remarried, lives in London, and I know the ups and downs, the pain particularly of that. And so Joseph connects, resonates with me, because Joseph knew the difficulties, being stitched up, betrayed. And we're going to look at a parallel between Joseph of the Old Testament and Jesus. So these are just some of the thoughts. Joseph knew what it was like to be bullied. That's one of the things that happens still today. This week I am at Newlands, I think it is, in First Platte. I know what I'm going to be sharing. We're going to be looking, it's Anti-Bullying Week coming up, so I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that. Joseph knew that. He knew what it's like to be sold. He was going to be killed, but one of the brothers, one of the 11, stood up for him, but he was sold. Imagine that by a family member. Now, the reality is there are times in our families where we don't get on, where we have disputes, where we have arguments, where we maybe have fisticuffs and disagreements and we're not talking to them, etc. Sometimes it lasts for a short period. Sometimes it can last for a long time, maybe for a lifetime. So Joseph knew about bullying. Joseph knew about being let down. And there are other things. And at this point, before I pause and hand over back to Christine, what can we do when we face bullying, opposition, being wrongly stitched up on the receiving end of malicious gossip or innuendo or false truth? And so it goes on. And whether you've been in Joseph as the musical, or you've read from chapter 37 from Genesis, he was 17 years old, it says, in Genesis 37, verse 2 or 3, when he was going along as the youngest to go and see how the brothers were doing. 17 years old. And then shortly we're going to look at some of the parallels with Jesus. But what can we do? Think about that, and I'll share some more thoughts later on. Is that me? Yeah, man.
They're good, aren't they?
There's plenty. Oh, no. Is this for tomorrow night?
No, it's not.
All right. There's plenty. So there's no tea or coffee, but...
There's biscuits.
There's biscuits. And when Christine said she was going to do it, I thought, yeah, man. Now, I better put it down for a second. That's probably not a good idea. And one of the things that connected when Christine was sharing that is that individual bad circumstances that come our way, we would not welcome them. We would not want them. I'll just be real with you. It was 1977, so 41 years ago, when my parents split up. And I was angry with God. I blamed God. I said, God, if you're so good, wonderful, powerful, you know I love my mum, you know I love my dad, why can't they be together? And a few years later, I was sharing with someone and filling them in the picture, and they were well-meaning, and one of the well-meaning things was that they might come back together again. That was what I was praying. Dear God, I pray that my mum and my dad would be reconciled. And it didn't happen, and it's not going to be happening now. One of the encouraging things is that even though my mum and dad have been split up for many, many years, what I do thank God for, out of that negativity, at least there is what I would call communication and acceptance and a measure of forgiveness. And that has meant a lot to me personally and to my family, because, and some of us, you know, sadly, probably many of us might be in a similar situation or know situations like that. And I have found that my faith has helped me. Given the choice, I would have loved to have wound back the clock and that not to have had that testing time. But it did. And it's how we react. And just either this morning or last week, I was reading something that really connected. And I wanted to share it this morning. Sometimes it's not necessarily the circumstances that we face or the things that happen to us. It's how we respond, how we react. And we're all different, and people will react in different ways. I'm being real and genuine with you. I was angry with God. I blamed God. It wasn't God's fault. I learned that, but that's where I was at. And it's really important, particularly if we know and love and trust Jesus. When bad things happen, that's the question that I'm asked most when I go into schools. If God is so good, why suffering? Why did the events happen yesterday? in Pittsburgh, I think it was. Tragic news. Last night, you know how much I love my football. I was watching a bit of the game. And because I know someone who was at the Leicester game, if you don't know, the owner of Leicester City owns his helicopter, and after home games he flies, and it crashed, and it was on the news, and it was horrific. So I texted Andy, are you okay? And then I texted his dad, and then I was thinking, and I was, because I didn't know, as the events were unfolding, then I got a message back, and he's fine. There's still the trap, and I just don't know what has happened, but it was a horrific event. Yesterday was just such a bad, and they're the ones that are in the news, but there's lots of stuff in our news that we don't hear about that happen, and it causes us big question. I want to mention a couple of books. You may know them. Written by a guy called Patrick Regan. The newest one is called Honesty Over Silence, and I've not read it, but I know of it and some of the stories. I want to recommend it to you. If you like reading, get hold of it or get hold of the DVD. And the other one is When Faith Gets Shaken. Now, Patrick's got a story. Some of you, if you've been to Soul Survivor, you've probably heard him share some of his stories. His own story is amazing. But here is one person who knows and loves Jesus, who has had some horrific things personally and what he has witnessed in places like Jamaica. And 20-odd years ago, when it started on his journey, when he was a youth worker in London and he went into a school, a student had been killed, stabbed, etc., etc. And he shares openly and honestly as a Christian about the ups and downs. And that's what's just so important, because sometimes we think, yeah, it's all right, we're all okay, we know Jesus, praise the Lord anyway. But sometimes things happen and we're a bit like Thomas. I'm a bit like Thomas, doubting Thomas, Didymus. Where is God in all of this? John chapter 20, just read that bit out if you are interested, of a biblical character. We're looking at Joseph this morning, but Thomas. But this is a book. It's got some stories in. It's quite moving. It's quite powerful. It will connect. There's a video series of it as well. I've certainly got one of the books somewhere. And if someone's interested, I'm happy to lend it once I can track it down. But I recommend both of these books to you. Honesty Over Silence. It's about being real. And it ties in with what we're talking about. It's okay not to be okay. Or, if you like, be real. Be real. That's what God wants us to be. Here's a little summary that I picked up. I got this many years or so ago, and it just says a little bit about Joseph. Let me just read out to you these seven statements, and they stand alone. Joseph, favoured by his father. Joseph, rejected by his brothers. Joseph, tested by adversity. Joseph, honoured by God. Joseph, exalted by example. Joseph, unrecognized by his family. Sometimes to follow Jesus can mean rejection from those closest to us. And finally, on this one, Joseph, identified by his forgiveness. Seven statements that I found really helpful. If you want to know more about that, I can give the passages from Genesis 37 onwards that you can read. Today is also Bible Sunday. You may or may not know that. And we're going to have a competition. We're going to have a competition. It's better? Yeah, man. And it's for anyone who wants to take part. I've got at least two prizes. They're kind of more youth-orientated. So if you're older than a youth, you can still win it, and then you can bless someone in Yaz with it, or Focus, or Pulse, or something. Anyway, or you can pass it on. Do you want to know the competition or the prizes? Competition, okay. And it's to do with Bible Sunday. Hopefully it's on there, it makes sense. Which verse describes the Bible? Now, sometimes when I do this, I did this at Lighthouse recently, and I love it when the youngsters then go, where is it, and they're looking for it, etc. So I tried to give a clue, and there's a bit of flexibility. There is a Bible verse in Psalms. Now, Psalms is quite a big book. There's 150 chapters, so it might take you more than 5 minutes to read it. You can ask. So if you know some people that are familiar, you know, some of the church leaders, trustees, elders, you can ask them, and they may know. I guess they will know. And but don't ask me. And you've got 2 weeks, because 2 weeks' time is Parade Sunday. And so there's a verse in Psalms, so it's either in Psalm 1 or right through to Psalm 150. And it kind of sums up the Bible. That's part one, because I've got a good prize. So the other bit, and it's in the New Testament part of the Bible, there's another verse in, and I nearly said the book, it's in one of the letters, yeah? So it's, to this time, it's not Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. There's a number of letters in the New Testament part of the Bible. One of them has a verse that has been used, and it talks a bit about Bible. I'll give you a little clue. Would you like a little clue? It's got the key, well, one of the key words that might help you too, especially if you Google it, is scripture. I'm not going to say any more. Oh, Sando's got it. But here's what you need to do. Because last time I only had one entrant, that's fine. So we had one winner. This time there might be more entrants. So on Parade Sunday, Remembrance Sunday, November the 11th, you've got until 2 weeks time to do it. Just need to write down the verse, the reference and the verse, and your name. And then probably by the end of parade service on the 11th of November, I'll pick just one winner. Because if there's lots of winners, then that's going to be quite difficult. And the prize includes, because it's Bible Sunday, it includes this. This was produced, it's been published by the Bible Society and Youth for Christ. And it is wicked, mum. It is amazing. It's the Bible, the whole Bible, Genesis through to Revelation, Good News version, Youth edition. But there are so many things involved in it. It's a bit thicker than a typical Bible. There's a pages for doodling. There are at least 30 video clips that you can access on YouTube, which just help. I've already had a look at it, because I was going to try and pick one up at the CRE, but I wasn't at it, so they just sent me one. And if you want to have a little look at it, but someone is going to win this for themselves or to pass on. It is brilliant. And the idea behind it is not just to win a prize, is to get into, because today is Bible Sunday, Bible Society, once it's usually the last Sunday in October. And I want to encourage us. And some of you use regular Bible reading guides. It might be Crusade for World Revival, CWR, or Daily Bread, or on your phones, or whatever encounter with God, doesn't matter. But I want to encourage you. And if you don't, but you are interested, then there are a number of people here that do. And I can get hold of some, and it might be a kind of New Year's resolution in October that you can do to get into God's Word. That's what things like CBSI and other things are about. It's just to encourage people to get into God's Word. So that's what I wanted to do on that. That's the picture of the Bible. It's not very clear on there. So, I've already talked about Joseph knowing tough times and family and wrongly accused and forgotten. But the key thing is that it parallels with Jesus. And earlier we had a chance with that illustration that Christine gave, either upstairs or downstairs, and with the cross. I love this massive cross. Every time I go into a church, if I see a cross, I feel at home. It's not the most important thing, but it's what it represents. And notice the cross is empty. And Jesus knew some of what Joseph knew. And we know how Jesus responded and how reacted. He didn't sort of say, oh, get me out of this, Father. Well, he did, but it didn't happen. He went through to the end. And that lovely verse that Christine has already made reference to in Genesis chapter 50. God meant it for good. It's hard to think about the good when bad things do happen. But I do believe in that Old Testament verse from Jeremiah that says God hath plans for us. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give us a hope and a future. And that makes all the difference. When Jesus was wrongly accused, when he was stitched up, when he was betrayed, when Judas went up and embraced him and kissed him, and that was a signal. Jesus knew that it was going to happen, but it didn't take away from the pain, from the isolation, from the sense of abandonment, sense of being forgotten. Earlier in the service, we sang this song, I'm going to trust in God. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge I leave myself and I leave you this morning. What about you? What about me? Are we going to trust in God in all circumstances? We still need to be real. I'm not suggesting that when something bad happens to us, we just say, oh, praise the Lord anyway. We need to be real. That's why I wanted to plug those two books by Patrick Regan. It's so important for us to be real. As a schools worker, so as most of you know, I visit schools. And in the last couple of weeks, because we've had this Illuminate tour with LZ7, one of the things that's happened in every school, Beechwood, Churchmead, Langley Grammar, St. Joseph's, Windsor Girls, St. Bernard's Grammar, and the Upton Park Academy, in every school, as we were going around, there was visible signs, as Lynn's was sharing, some of the stuff that is going on, that young people are facing. In one of the schools, for obvious reasons, I won't mention which one, a teacher said, Wayne, would you be happy to chat with a student? And I said, if you're happy, if parents care is happy, then I have, because I'm a visitor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not part of the pastoral team, but something welled up as we were doing this Illuminate thing. That's why we did it, because we're sharing about Jesus. Yeah, there were some things that didn't go as well as we had hoped, and some other issues, but God was at work. Lives are being changed, and God wants to use us in the home, in the school, in the community, in the workplace, in the church, to be listening ears, to be caring. That's one of the reasons why at Slough Baptist Church there's a prayer ministry team, not just the Sunday morning, Sunday evening, but on other occasions when we can be helpers and supporters. Joseph, when he was in prison, must have found it really difficult. When he was wrongly accused, check it out if you want to know the story to do with Potiphar's wife, etc. And a sense of isolation and abandonment and being let down and wrongly stitched up, etc., etc. And then, but God had given him a skill, an ability to interpret dreams. And when the butler and the baker and the, it's, I love the story. Read it. Please do read it. Check it out. And then Joseph was on his own, desperate, isolated. But then it was remembered. And that's why that verse in Genesis chapter 50 is just so helpful. God meant it for good. And even though we sometimes can't see that, it is there. And my hope and my prayer is that as we continue through our worship this morning, as we go into this new week, as some of the schools, most of the schools, go back tomorrow, not all of them. If you go to certain schools, you've got another week. Anyway, as we go to work, if we're in work, or at home, or in the community area, whatever it might be, CBSI, food bank, guides, Boys Brigade, wherever we come into contact with people, there will be people who need to know Jesus, need to be able to share Jesus. And Joseph is a great example of someone who was able to, probably didn't actually say the quote, it's okay not to be okay, but it happened. And the difference that Jesus makes, the empty cross, an example of Jesus. And Jesus gives me, that's what makes a difference to me. I've had many times when I've had big questions and doubts about God. God, where are you in this situation? In some of the school situations, some head teachers, they, you know, I find it quite intimidating. The head teacher say, Wayne, can you just come into my office, please? And I think, oh, I'm going to get caned. And they share things. And I'm thinking, Lord, what do I do? And I'm, dear Lord, please help. That's why when I pray, I ask people to pray for sensitivity and wisdom. Because often with children, more often with young people and with staff, situations come. Situations will come our way probably this week. Lord, what shall we do? Maybe we can learn. Not from Joseph, that's a start. Ultimately, we learn from Jesus. And my hope and my prayer is that if you know Jesus, then that will help us. So even though life will continue to be like that, it will be, that's the reality. But if we've got Jesus with us, especially in the low bits, that can help. And we just need to be real, to be authentic, to be genuine. And then we can share that Jesus. God has plans for us. They're not always the plans that we would hope for. E.g., most of us would say, yeah, I just want things to be simple, pain-free, etc. That's probably not going to happen. And my hope and prayer is that for those of you that know and love Jesus, that we can take Jesus with us into the community. If anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, then you might stop, pause and think, not about Joseph, but about Jesus, what he said and what he did. And he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for us. Life changing, life transforming. Let's pray. Father, my prayer is today that you will help us on our journey, in our families, blended families, extended families, broken families, isolated families, families with friction. Lord, help us to be peacemakers. Help us to be the fragrance of Jesus. Help us to be honest, authentic, genuine, and real. Help us to trust and follow you. And if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, grant them that courage to be able to share with someone whom they know, one of the elders or trustees or Christine or I, someone else, to look at your word, to look at the Genesis passages of Joseph from 37 through to 50, ultimately to look at Jesus. And may many lives be transformed as we know that it is okay not to be okay and the difference that you can make. Be with us for the rest of this day, I pray, and as we go into this new week, whatever it might hold, in Jesus' name, amen.